Well, as the Justice Department tries to deal with cyber spying abroad, Americans are still trying to confront intelligence gathering here on our home soil. Calls for reform after Edward Snowden last summer revealed that the United States was collecting vast amounts of data on Americans' phone and internet behavior. Well, in reaction last year, Senator Pat Leahy and Congressman Jim Sensenbrenner introduced the USA Freedom Act, one of the first comprehensive bills to address multiple aspects of spying at the National Security Agency. The proposal is finally starting to gain some traction in the House of Representatives, where an amended version is expected to get a vote later this week. But there's already concern among some privacy advocates that the deal that could get this bill through the House is watering down some key privacy protections. But that won't be the final word. The Senate plans to take up their own version of the USA Freedom Act later this summer. And that's legislation that Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from the state of Oregon and senior member of the Intelligence Committee, has been fighting for a very long time. In fact, well before the Snowden revelations even came out.
If you had told me even a year ago that people would look at this collection of all of these, you know, phone records and understand what's at stake, because this really is a federal human relations database. In other words, the country was told a year ago, oh, this stuff is no big deal. It's just metadata. It's just innocent. And I and others said, not so fast. This is, in effect, digital surveillance. When the government knows who you called, when you called, and often where you called from, that's a great deal of personal information about people. If the government knows that you called a psychiatrist three times in 24 hours, once after midnight, it knows a lot about you. So the fact that over a year we have in effect turned this around and the House is looking through the USA Freedom Act at very significant reforms where instead of the government collecting all of this information, the government would have to go to court on a particular individual and show particularized evidence with respect to an individual, I think is certainly moving in the right direction.
You know, another big issue here and one that you've advocated for is that the FISA court, the secret court under the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act that sort of rules on these warrants that you're talking about. And a lot of people, including you, have criticized it because it's not adversarial. The government kind of in the past has said, give us this authority, and the FISA court says, yeah, go ahead. And it's not a courtroom like we're used to seeing. You have said that you want to have a constitutional or a civil liberties sort of solicitor general in there to argue the privacy case, that the House may not go that way, it seems, this week.
I think that's an unfortunate mistake on the part of the House, because the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court is essentially one of the most bizarre judicial bodies in the United States. I don't know of any other court that essentially hears one side. And in effect, when the government made the case to essentially reinterpret the Section 215 provision in the Patriot Act, there was nobody there to argue the other side. So when you have the reforms we're talking about with respect to the FISA court, there would be someone there to argue the other side on the major constitutional questions.
Well, on this issue of the human relations database, a term that you've coined, you've mentioned it a couple of times. I think of it as kind of operationalizing the old 6 degrees of separation. You know, you can tell a lot about us by whom we associate with.
Pretty good characterization.
Yeah, and I wonder if at this stage, you know, people have talked about having the phone companies hold all of this information about it, but the government can only search it if they have a warrant or something that we think of as a warrant, even if it's not the legal definition of a warrant. Is it okay in your mind, knowing what you know about intelligence matters and preventing terrorist attacks, to still have this information being collected even if the NSA isn't holding it? Is that okay in your mind?
Well, first of all, I want people to understand a couple of things. First, I don't see any reason to make phone companies hold any data that they aren't already holding. But these companies already have a long track record of responding to legitimate requests from law enforcement, and they can do so in a timely way. And we're going to be watchdogging the phone companies very, very closely. The other point is the phone company cannot take away your liberty. The government can.
Do we need to give the phone companies more power, more freedom to inform their customers, inform the public about what they are doing to hold on to data and to report to the government about it?
absolutely. There's no question that the phone companies need to do that, because when the government targets a foreigner, which in many instances is very appropriate because those are really serious threats, what we now know, because James Clapper has confirmed it to me in writing and we've made it public, is very often Americans get swept up in those searches and they can have their email and communications, you know, reviewed. We think that that is a loophole that ought to be closed in order to protect the privacy of Americans. And, Todd, it's going to be increasingly important because today the communication systems around the world are becoming globally interconnected. It's no longer the case that you just have a communication system in our country and then a communication system in, say, France or one in Germany or what have you. And I'm using those just hypothetical kind of cases. Today, they're globally interconnected. So when our government targets a foreigner, it's more likely that Americans are going to get swept up in these searches. And we need to make sure that that backdoor search loophole is closed. And I'm very pleased. I just got some news just a little bit ago. There's going to be bipartisan efforts in the House to close it.
And we're going to see this week whether those bipartisan efforts get a hearing on the floor, whether they get amendments that people can vote on to close loopholes and other privacy protections that some privacy advocates are concerned about. And I wanted to ask you, Senator, because you have a long history with some of these issues. And, you know, in years past, it's been well publicized that you were prevented by rules of the Intelligence Committee and by other rules from even voicing some of the concerns that you're voicing now. Obviously, you can now because of the Snowden revelations. These things aren't classified anymore. They're out there. But given that history that you've had of not being able to tell the public about so many of your concerns, can the public be confident now that all of the matters they should know about their privacy and protection against attacks is being fully aired even at this point?
We still have some very serious issues, particularly secret law, where in effect Americans expect that intelligence agencies will sometimes need to conduct secret operations, but these agencies shouldn't be following secret law. So I think that's something we still need to deal with. And a second area is we need to, I think, accept that the rank and file in the intelligence community, they are incredibly dedicated, patriotic public servants, do an amazing job for our country. I have an enormous respect for the thousands and thousands of rank and file employees who work for these intelligence agencies. But too often, we have seen a culture of misinformation on the part of the intelligence leadership, and it goes on to this day. And I'm going to give you, you know, an example. I mean, we know what happened in the past. The former head of the NSA, for example, you can see him on YouTube where he says, "We don't hold data on U.S. citizens." That is one of the most false statements ever made about U.S. surveillance. But here's a more relevant example. As you know, the Intelligence Committee has been facing some challenges from the CIA. And with respect to access to our computers, you see in an op-ed in the USA Today, the spokesman for the CIA talks about why it is so important to, in effect, review the files and materials of the committee. That's an op-ed in the USA Today. Then Senator Feinstein, our chair, gave a speech on the floor, and the head of the CIA, John Brennan, rushed out to say, "Oh, we have absolutely no interest in the committee's files and the committee's records." That's the kind of culture of misinformation that lives to this day.
Well, in our final minute, Senator Ron Wyden, before I let you go, you know, we've talked a lot about privacy and we've talked about civil liberties. We have to talk about protection from attacks. That's the other half of this that you think about on the intelligence community. Look, we're probably going to reform the NSA. We're going to reform a lot of the things that Edward Snowden revealed and all of his revelations that are ongoing. As we do these reforms and we at least partially curtail or yank the chain on the NSA and the intelligence community, are you confident that we are not making it more likely that there might be another attack or preventing another attack? Are we neutering at all our intelligence agencies by doing these reforms that civil libertarians hold dear?
That's a key point. First, I would really urge listeners to look at the report done by the President's Advisory Board. And these are people like Mike Morrell and Richard Clark, people with very strong national security credentials. These are people who are not soft on terror. And they said the kinds of things we're trying to reform, the current kinds of practices, collecting all these phone records, were not necessary in order to fight terror. So you start with that, number one. Second, I and others feel very strongly that the government has emergency authorities. So when the government sees something that is a threat, the government can move immediately and then come back after the fact in order to go through the various legal processes that you would normally do to beforehand. And I have felt very strongly that the combination of those emergency orders plus what the president's own advisory board has said ensures that when Americans follow this debate, they will see that it is possible for our country to have liberty and security. The two are not mutually exclusive.
The USA Freedom Act is likely on the House floor this week. It will also be on the Senate floor likely later this summer when the debate continues. Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon is a senior member of the intelligence community and right in the middle of that debate. And Senator, I thank you for joining us.
Let's do it again.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.